grab your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. We're in our faith series. Faith. And, you know, when you talk about the subject of faith in church, one of the paramount verses we use when talking about the subject of faith is not the one you're turning to right now, but it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight," right? And the reason that's kind of paramount verse for the subject of faith is because it really encapsulates what the journey of faith looks like. It first of all says, we walk. In other words, there's movement. We walk, there's movement, but it's not based on what I can see or what my mind, what makes sense to me or what feels good to me. The journey that we're on with God is a walk of faith. And so it's we hear his voice and we respond. We adjust our life to what he's calling us to do, but there's movement involved. Faith equals movement, church. And you know, often what we do is we compartmentalize faith in our life, though, because we all know that life is about movement. I mean, you're born and there's progress through your childhood and into your education and then into your career and then into children and now into the grandparent season we're in. So we know that life is a journey, but sometimes we don't think about our faith in the same way. You know, many of us, we got born again and we just kind of settled, said, okay, well, that's it. I'm now a follower of Jesus and I go to church and I check a few boxes, but we really don't understand that this life with Jesus really is a journey, and it's a journey of faith. In fact, our main journey is the journey of faith. The reason our life moves is because it's part of the movement we have in our faith. Are you catching what I'm saying here? So we're not to compartmentalize our faith. Our faith is a part of all of our life, but we ought to be progressing as Christians. That's why we're a discipleship church. A disciple is a learner. In other words, there's movement in our faith. And so I want to talk to you about that this morning. The reason we're in Genesis 12 is because Genesis 12 gives us a perfect picture of that journey that God wants to take you and I on. And it's in the account that we find with what God did with a man named Abram. So begin reading with me. We're gonna read a considerable amount of scripture here. But let's begin in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12 and read this account. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you.' So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all of his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and he headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abraham traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the Oak of Moriah. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'I will give this land to your descendants.' And Abraham built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshiped there. Then Abraham continued traveling south by stages toward the Negev." Let's pray. Ready? Lord, we thank you for your word. We love your word. Your word is living and active. Let it be living and active in us today, in Jesus' name. We see in this account that God invited Abram into this journey. He says, "Hey, I want to bring you on a journey. The journey is going to require that you leave. You leave your country, you leave your relatives, and you leave your family." I think that's interesting. It kind of struck me, though, when he said, "Leave your relatives and your family," because those kind of sound like the same thing. But as I did a little digging into the word relative there in the Hebrew, it's actually a broader word than just family. So it has a broader definition. Part of that definition is this. It's even the circumstances of your birth. So what he says to Abram is, I need to get you out of this place that you're familiar with. And I want to get you out of the circumstances of your birth, or kind of what defines you. And I want to get you away from your family. I want to invite you into this journey. And here's what I believe I hear God saying to Abram. Is he like, whatever defines you as who you are, we need to erase the chalkboard because I have a new definition for you. I want to take you somewhere that goes beyond what you're familiar with, what your circumstances are, or even who your family is. And he says, I want to take you on this journey. And then he gives us, in verse 2, we see the purposes for those, for this journey. The first purpose was, he said, Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation. Now, here's my belief. This really had more to do with God than Abram. Because God said, I want to make a nation out of you, because God has always looked for a nation that would belong to him. This very first, the creation was about Adam and Eve being part of his tribe in perfect relationship with him. Can I tell you today, church, God is still looking for his tribe. He's still looking for those people who are connected with him. So God said, the purpose for this journey, the first purpose is, I want to make a tribe out of you. The second purpose, though, he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Listen, the reason he wanted to bless Abraham is because God loves his kids. And so he said, I want to bless you. And the third thing he said was that not only do I want to bless you, I want to make you a blessing. So God invites Abram into this journey. There's reason for this journey. But God knows humanity. And what he knew was Abram would need some incentive. I mean, I would love to just be able to stand up here as a pastor and say, God says you ought to do this, and y'all go, yes. And by the end of the day, everybody's doing it. How many of you know the world doesn't work like that? So God needed to incentivize him. We see this all throughout the Bible. And you know, about what I'm about to say, some of you may accuse me of being a prosperity message preacher when I'm about to say what I'm about to say. But I just want you to know, I don't write the mail. I just deliver it. So God incentivizes. He says, I want to bring you on this journey, and to incentivize you, here's your incentive. First of all, I'm going to bless you. So he incentivizes him with blessing. We see this all throughout Scripture. When God wanted to move the children of Israel, wanted their obedience or something, he would incentivize them with good things. I'm not getting any amens. Church, listen to me. God's got good things for you. God's not afraid to bless you. He even said this. Now, again, this isn't Jody. I didn't write this. The King James said, it says it this way, I'll make your name great. But we just read it in the New Living Translation. Is he said this, Abraham, you ready? I'm going to make you famous. Right? That's how God incentivized Abram. Because he knew he needed to get him moving. So he incentivized him with things that would be enticing to his value system. The reason I'm saying that is some of us have a theology, you know, we all say, well, God gives us good things, but then there's a caveat. Some of us say, but his good things aren't always our good things. There's some whole theologies based around that. Like, God may give you cancer because it's a good thing to him, even though it's not a good thing to you. I never see that in Scripture. I always see God incentivizing people with things that would match the value system that he put in the people. That's right. And so God is incentivizing him, trying to get him to move. And so we see he incentivized him first with blessing, but then he incentivized him also with purpose. Not only am I going to bless you, I'm going to make you a blessing. And I believe that in the heart of every person, there's a desire for us to have value, to add value to the world around us, to accomplish something. I think in this generations that's coming up right now, I believe more than ever, there's a generation coming up, especially in the body of Christ, that says, I want my life to count. I want to do something of eternal value with my life. And so I see God, he's incentivizing with blessing, but he's incentivizing with purpose as well, because he's trying to get Abraham moving. So Abram launches out on this journey, and here's what we find the journey looked like for Abram. He did have to leave what was familiar. He had to leave his country. He had to leave his circumstances. He had to leave his family. And, you know, church, I don't think we fully understand how the culture around us pulls on us. We don't truly understand the influence that the culture around us pulls on us. And so I believe he had to step out. He had to take a step of faith and go away from what was normal and break free from those things. And so that was the first part of his journey. When he launched into his journey, though, Abram had to face some things. First thing Abram faced was himself. Now, we're talking about Abram's journey, and in a minute I'm going to show you how that applies to us. When Abram launched out in this journey, the first thing he faced was himself. Remember, God's command at the very beginning was leave your family. So what does Moses do? What does Abram do? He packs up and takes his family with him. The first thing that God commanded him to do, he got wrong. He brought Lot with him. Do you see that in Scripture? And you know, what I know though is God is just so gracious and kind. He's like, okay, you took the first step out the gate was wrong, but I'm still gonna work in it. And so he takes us, and instead of leaving his family, he packs up and he brings Lot with him. Now, here's how the kingdom of God works, ready? Read a few chapters later, that whole Lot thing came back to bite him. But you know what's interesting? God never wastes a step. Come on, how many of you made a dumb decision? How many of you have missed it and had life bite on you a little bit? Is that God punishing? No, that's God blessing you. That's God shaping you. That's God holding the mirror up in front of you saying, hey, we got some work to do. So Abram launches out. First thing he runs into is himself. I mean, they make it to Egypt in their journey, and this great man of faith, you know what he finds out is he's not a great man of faith. He's a coward. He lies about his wife because he's scared he'll get killed because his wife's so good looking. He lies about his wife. So we see that as soon as he launched into this journey, Abram began to see himself. And so he had to face himself, but not only did he have to face himself, Scripture tells us that where he was going, there were enemies, there were inhabitants in that land. So he had to face himself. And he had to face enemies. So this journey wasn't all roses. We see that things begin to happen. Challenges begin to come. But here's the beautiful news. You ready? That's where God met Abram. God appeared to Abram in the journey. And so the thing we can learn from that is, as some of us are waiting for God to encounter us, you know where God encounters us? It's in our journey. God's not gonna come find you. You're gonna find God as you're traveling. So Abram traveled, and that's where he encountered God. But also Abram had a secret for success. This journey was tough. There was lots of challenges. He had a secret for success. Bible says wherever he was, he built an altar and he worshiped. I don't know what you're facing today, church, but wherever you are, build an altar and worship. Begin lifting your voice. I love the songs we were singing earlier. The wind may be blowing in your world. Come on, hurricane, gale force winds may be blowing. Lift up your hands, lift up your head, lift up your voice, and begin to lift up the one who is going to sustain you through whatever comes in your world, right? So this is Abram's story, but what does it have to do with us? You know, when God invited him on this journey, what we know now looking back is that he was heading for the land of Canaan, which we also would know as the promised land. So he was trying to bring Abram to this promised land. Now listen, every one of us have a Canaan out there somewhere. We have a promised land. The promised land for them was a geographical region, but it was much more than that. Here's what a promised land looks like, church. It's that place, it's that sweet spot in life where it's like, I am in perfect relationship with my Father. It's like my connection with God is good. My connection with my family is good. There's purpose in my life. There's, you know, things are just going well for me. That's where God wants to bring us. Every person in here, God wants to bring you to your personal promised land. He's got it out there for you, but you're not going to get there sitting here. You're going to have to journey to get there. And so what God's calling us toward is that utopian life that I don't think we'll ever fully reach on this side, but God's got a promised land for every person in here. And you know, it's interesting to me, because Abram kind of, in Genesis 12, he just kind of bursts onto the scene. And you don't really know a lot of the backstory on this Abram guy. But there is a little bit. If you look at one chapter in front, if you go to chapter 11, at the end of chapter 11, here's what you'll find. Again, it's real quick references. In Genesis 11, it goes through the old, it does this in the Bible often where it shows who came from who, came from who, came from who. It's just really exciting reading. You know, like just lineage after lineage after lineage. And then at the end of chapter 11, though, it says that there was this man. I'm going to speak Hebrew to you now, ready? His name was Terach. It's one of those beautiful Hebrew names, you know, that just rolls right off the tongue. But it was this man named Terach. You kind of got to hock up a loogie while you're saying that name. But this man was Abram's father. And so you read about him a little bit there, gives a little information, but just enough information to know this. Listen, some of this is Jody speculating, so if you don't agree with me, it's okay. But from what I read at the end of chapter 11, you know what I think is? Is that the same journey that God is inviting Abram to now, he invited his dad, Terach, on that same journey one chapter before. Because it says, Terach began heading toward Canaan. He grabbed his family, began heading toward Canaan. But it says that he got to a place called Haran and he settled there. Listen, his promised land was out there, but somewhere along the way, he settled. Does that have any application for us here today? Can maybe we look back in our life and our family, say, man, my family began, but it's somewhere along the way, they just settled. Or maybe it's even talking about us, that I began a journey with God, but somewhere along the way, I just settled. Oh, may today be the day that we refuse to settle anymore. And we get determined that not just for my sake, but for my family's sake, for the world's sake, for the kingdom's sake, I'm not settling anymore. I'm getting to the place where God has called me to be. So, Abram's dad settled. Now Abram's invited into this journey, and we see that he did fairly well. Now, what is the application for you and I today? Well, first of all, is that God is inviting you into a journey. I don't know what your walk with the Lord has looked like, but if it's stagnant and stale and it's just kind of on cruise control, that's not God's best for you. He's inviting you into a journey for the same purposes that he invited Abram. First of all, because God is still building his church. He's building his tribe. He wants you to be in perfect relationship with him. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. He wants for you to raise your children and your family in the knowledge, in connection with him. God is still in the nation building business. So he's inviting you and I into that thing. And he will incentivize us just like he incentivized Abraham. I'm standing here today telling you that the promised land God is calling you to is a good place. And there's fulfillment there. There's blessing there. So I am incentivizing you. But listen, let me tell you, there is another way to incentivize people. It's just as effective, but it's not as pleasant. It's pain. Pain is a great motivator. I mean, how many of you have not worried about exercise till you went to your cardiologist? He says, son, you can start running or you can die, you know, or whatever it is, you know. And so, or how many people, they don't work on their marriage until those papers show up, you know. Uh-oh, scramble. So I just want to tell you this, that that I invite you to say yes to your journey of faith by telling you it's good. But I also tell you this, that if you don't, pain will get you there. Come on, God loves you just enough to let your decisions work for you. And so that what you sow, you begin to reap. So I can tell you're really excited about that. Let's move on. So God is inviting you on this journey, but it is going to require that you leave some things. Maybe that you leave your country. May mean that you leave your birth circumstances. And you know, I was thinking about this morning. There's many of us that we were born into a situation where, like, I'd gladly leave my family. You know, I would gladly leave my birth circumstances. Because some of us, we've come from dysfunction, we've come from brokenness, but what we don't understand, listen, we gotta get away from that stuff, because that brokenness will define you in some kind of way. It'll distort your paradigm of who God is as your Father. It does so much damage in us, so we've gotta get away from that. But you know what? There's other of us, we came from families of influence and affluence, and we're doing just fine. But we don't understand that God is not concerned. Listen, I come from a ministry family. My grandfather was a pastor. My dad was a pastor. But there came a day when the Lord said to me, it doesn't matter that your grandfather knew me. It doesn't matter that your dad knew me. Do you know me, Jody? And that journey brought me into a personal relationship with him. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, God wants an intimate relationship with you, but this journey is gonna cause you, it may cause you saying no to the friend group you've been hanging out with. It may be that you need to get a new tribe, that you need to put boundaries up, but it's gonna cost you, it's gonna take some movement. And I promise you this, when you begin your journey of faith with God, you know what's gonna happen? You're gonna face some things. You're gonna face yourself. You're gonna face your shortcomings. You're gonna face your weaknesses. You're gonna begin to recognize your strengths, and that's a beautiful thing, but we also begin to recognize our weaknesses. And not only are we gonna face ourselves, we're gonna face an enemy. There's an enemy out there who doesn't want you getting fed up and saying, my family's not gonna be like this anymore. My family's not gonna be known for dysfunction, not gonna be known for brokenness. I'm setting a new course. Listen, when you begin to say, no, we're gonna change this thing. We're gonna rewrite the history of my family's not gonna be the same as the past. We're gonna have this new thing. When you launch onto that journey, you better know this, the enemy's coming after you. So you're gonna have to face some things. But here's what I do know. In the same way that God met Abram in his journey, God will meet you on yours. Listen, what I want out of this message today is I want a group of people walking out of here saying, you know what? I'm ready to put this thing in gear. I'm ready to engage in my walk with God. I'm ready to begin a walk, not just a coast with God, but a walk with God where every day, everything I do is involved in the kingdom of God, and begin to launch out in that purposes. But here's what I know is that when you begin to do that, God's gonna meet you there. Some of you have been sitting in your pew waiting for God to show up. God's not coming to your pew. You gotta go find him, church. Where did Saul of Tarsus encounter God? It was on the road. Jesus, when he was looking at his first candidates for discipleship, he said to them, follow me and I'll make you something different. Some of us, we wanna be something different. We just don't wanna follow him. It's about getting up. We gotta begin to engage in this thing. I promise you, he'll meet you there. And the journey's tough, it's not always easy, but here's what I know, any time is a good time to worship our God. And when times are good, when times are bad, it doesn't matter. That's the key to Abram's success, it's gonna be the key to yours. So again, what I wanna do in this message is I wanna motivate you that this walk of faith is not stagnant, it's not casual, it's engaged. And this means something to me because I feel like for several years of our life, Laurie and I and our family, we lived this thing out. A lot of you are new here and don't know our story, but I've had somebody ask me, you know, Jody, how long have you been in the ministry? And I'm like, well, let's see, I'm 51 years old. because my parents are pastors, by the way. Right? And so I don't know anything else. I know ministry. And so I've known this thing for a long time. And so then I got married to Lori, and at a young age, we were on staff here at the church. Now, can I tell you, I don't think there's a title in the church world that either Lori and I have not filled. From maintenance, come on, the beauty of toilet washer. I mean, we've covered it all. We've had all the titles. I mean, we've been children's pastors, we've been missions pastors, we've been small group pastors, we did it all. And so we were on staff here for a long time. Eventually, I began leading worship here. And when I began leading worship here, I kind of found my groove. And so for about 7 years, it was like, this is what I was called to do. Lori was the children's pastor at the time, so we were here doing our thing. We had built a house out in the country. And we were settled. Everything was good in our world. I had job security. I didn't think my dad would fire me, but I mean, everything was going pretty good for us. And then in 2005, I felt the Lord say to us, he said, I want to bring you somewhere. I want to move you. And I felt a call to go to a Bible school in Dallas called Christ for the Nations. Now, this, it couldn't be any more ridiculous. I'm 35 years old. I have 3 kids. I'm doing the job that I'm going to school to get qualified to do. I'm already working in the field that I would get qualified for in Bible college. I'm like, why would God move us? Listen, church, talking about the walk of faith. We were comfortable. Everything was good in our life. You know what the Lord told me? As we were contemplating this, the Lord said this to me. He says, Jody, I need to expand your perspective. I had no idea that my perspective needed to be expanded. I thought the kingdom of God looked like this right here. Like, just take a look around this room. This is the kingdom of God. I didn't know how narrow my focus was. So through a series of events in 2005, we sold everything we had, we quit our job, and we went to Bible college. Here I am, 35 years old, packing my little crew up, go live in an apartment in a bad part of Dallas. And what I didn't know was that at the school that year, there was 63 different nations represented at that Bible school. We lived in an apartment on campus. My kids were playing with kids from Brazil and Japan and Saudi Arabia. And listen, the Lord began to rock my world. I had no idea the kingdom of God was so diverse. I saw people of different tribes, and I just saw it all. And God began to show me how big and broad his kingdom is. And as I began to see that, I began to realize how narrow my focus had been. So in 2 weeks of being there, God had already done what he had sent me to do. My perspective had grown. But it was so beautiful. Listen, when we made that first step, it was a sense of adventure. It was adventurous and it was scary. I mean, come on, when you sell your house and everything you own and move off, like, it was a crazy step of faith. But as we got there, the Lord began to broaden our perspective. And the Lord began to move and meet us there and show us so many cool things. Listen, as we got there, the Lord began to show me what his provision looked like. Before we left, we did not raise any support. We weren't asking people for money. We asked no one for a dime. You know what we found when we got there? Is God began to provide for us in crazy ways. So much so that we actually had more than we needed living by faith. And that was such a blessing. And I remember being in tears showing Lori, look what God has provided for us. I'm like, hey, man, this is great. But you know what? Shortly after that, God began to open our eyes to people around us who had needs. So the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know all those blessings I'm giving you? Let them flow right through you. Don't hang on to all these things. And that year, we gave more money away to families in need around us, supporting the kingdom of God by the blessings God was pouring into our life. It was so beautiful. I wouldn't have seen that from Sulphur. And I'm not saying you have to leave Sulphur. With the heat right now, it's a possibility we may all want to go, but it doesn't mean you have to physically move. But God began to just, he wouldn't have taught me that sitting in my little in my little spot. But as we begin to journey with him, let me tell you one quick story in a hurry. Like I said, God was providing for us financially really well back then. And one day I was walking from class back home, and I walked past this little park area, and there was a man standing in that park, and I could tell that he was praying. And so I didn't know the guy, never seen him before. When I'm walking by, I feel the Lord say to me, give him $100. So I whip in there real quick, just said, hey dude, listen, I don't know you, you don't know me. We introduced ourselves. His name was Bob Gazaway, and I shook his hand. I said, this sounds crazy, but I just feel like the Lord told me to give you $100, so I gave him $100. We had a little exchange, and then off I went. Didn't know anything, just walked out of those. One of those just going, God, I don't know what you're going to do with this, but here it is. What I didn't know was that Bob was not a student there at school. He was actually alumni, so he was just back there visiting, but his younger brother Ben was a student at school. Ben and I and his wife Olivia, we had already connected somewhat. We knew who they were. They knew who we are. I had no idea that Bob was Ben's brother. So after that little exchange, we went on about our life, and a few days later, Ben comes to me and said, hey, you talked to my brother Bob. I said, oh, okay. And what he said was, what you didn't know was that Bob was here just to refresh and pray. They've been through a really tough time in ministry, and they needed to get away, so he came here, and they were really believing God even for the fuel to get here and back. And so this was a time of refreshing for Bob. And so I was like, man, isn't that cool that God would use us to be part of Bob's rehabilitation there, you know? But what that did was Ben and I became better friends through that interaction, so much so that Ben and his wife Olivia invited us to dinner one night in their apartment. So we walk into their apartment, and being Jody LaFleur, first thing I notice is the big 9-point buck hanging on the wall. In this little tiny apartment, he had this monster buck hanging on the wall. Well, I'm like, now I'm interested. So Ben, you got to tell me about this. He said, oh. He said, man, I live in northwest Missouri in a little tiny town surrounded by cornfield and deer. And I said, oh, Jesus, you got my attention. And so we began talking. And then he said, you know what? You ought to come hunt with me sometime. I said, Ben, stop. Let me stop you right there. I just need you to know that the guy you're talking to, if you invite him hunting in northwest Missouri, don't be surprised in November when you hear a knock on your door and you open it and Jody's standing there with his bow in his hand. Don't throw out some empty invitation. I think last year was my 16th or 17th trip to northwest Missouri to hunt deer, all because I said yes to God in my journey. You just don't know. We just don't know how all this thing is connected. So in this journey, Laurie and I are on, and our family, God was just leading us. And so you'd say, well, Jody, that just sounds fun. If the walk of faith gets you hunt in the Midwest, I'm in, you know. So it's just all cake and all easy and stuff. No. Listen, on that journey, we left Dallas, and we ended up moving to Colorado. We lived in Colorado for a while. You know what I learned in Colorado? Dakota, you'll get this. Here's wisdom from an old man. You ready? No matter where you live, life is life. The scenery changes, but life is life. Now, scenery change is a good thing. Weather change is a good thing, right? You're looking at a man up here sweating, and it's 70 degrees in this air-conditioned building. What I found was life is just life, but I wouldn't have learned that without the journey. And we've lived in some beautiful places, but you know what I found is that wherever I go, there I am. And I bring my problems with me, because most of the problems are in me, right? And so on this journey, we lived in Colorado for a while. And you know what I faced in Colorado? I faced Jody. We were living with a family that we were going to do some ministry with. Listen, you can like people all day long. When you move in with them, come on, Jesus. Living with another family held the mirror up in front of Jody. And of course I was mad at them, but then God would show me that I'm really mad about me. And it was through that journey that God taught me patience. He taught me how to walk in love. Now, it took a couple of trips around the mountain, you know. Y'all tracking with me? It was just in that journey, God was doing things in me that he couldn't have done if I was stagnant. I could tell you stories all day long. After we left Colorado, we ended up moving to Belize. We lived in Belize for a year on the mission field. You think, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Yes, it was amazing and it was awful all at the same time. Because life is life and the journey's the journey. But we said yes to the journey, and it was a physical journey for us. I don't know what your journey looks like, church. I don't know where God is calling you to engage. But my point is this, as believers, as followers of Christ, we can't be static. We can't just focus on life without focusing on our walk of faith. I want to say to you today, wherever you are, it's time to put this thing in gear. It's time to put this thing in gear in our faith and make sure that everything we're doing in our life is engaged in the kingdom of God. Can I tell you this, church? It's worth it. Yes. It's worth it. The change you're hoping for is in your journey. The encounter with God you're looking for is in your journey. We just have to say yes to the journey. Would you stand up with me, please?